God of wisdom and grace, let your peace settle upon us, and may your instruction take root in our hearts, growing in a faithful offering of discipleship. Teach us now through your Holy Spirit, so that we may know your will and purpose with clarity. In Christ's name we pray. First reading is in Acts, chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. It's on page 1720. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Our second reading is in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, the first half of verse 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, I'm going to try another old story, see how many of you remember this one. And before the days of automated equipment that does line painting on roads, the county hired a new person to paint fresh yellow lines down the middle of all the county roads. The first day, this new guy painted an astonishing 10 miles of road with new yellow line down the middle, and that was a record. No one had ever painted 10 miles of yellow lines in one day, so the boss was very impressed. And although it was still pretty good, the second day the man only painted 6 miles of yellow lines. The third day the man only managed to paint 3 miles of yellow lines, and that's not very good. So the boss thought the man just had a bad day, but then on the fourth day, the man only managed to paint one single mile of yellow line. So the boss had no choice but to call him into the office for an explanation. And the man began telling him that painting the lines was getting more difficult every day. And the boss said, how could it be getting more difficult? These are lines in the road. This is the same thing every day. And the man explained further, his progress was declining because every day he was getting further and further away from his paint bucket. If you fail to adapt to new or changing situations, that can prove to be a real handicap in making progress as life, its opportunities, its choices unfold in all kinds of ways. For people of faith, we need to be responsive to the new situations that come up in our lives, the changing circumstances that are facing others, and an awareness of the way things were just a few years ago have changed drastically today. Because, if we persist in the direction that we're headed, moving forward, but relying on the old familiar in the rearview mirror, we're unlikely to arrive at a good destination, the desired destination. In fact, we should expect to collide with a new reality which we had never given regard before. And if we're insistent that reality has to conform to our perceptions and assumptions, rather than conforming our perceptions and assumptions to the new reality, we're going to find our paint bucket is further and further away from us, and little is going to get accomplished, if anything. We're going to find it's a lot harder to make sense, to make progress, and even to keep happy standing still. In our faith life, God wants us to receive every blessing. And of course, we need to realize that God will bring us toward the blessings, generating opportunities that we couldn't imagine. But we need to make the faithful decisions to get to those blessings. And as we come to the threshold of blessing, will we seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit and search for prayerful guidance? Or will we do what we've always done before? So there we are in the reading from Acts. Paul and his crew are on a mission to share the good news of the kingdom, to plant mission outposts. They're working through modern-day Turkey, but they're in the Roman province of Asia, western Turkey today. Part of Turkey that's close to the Aegean. Well, you can look on the bulletin cover. This is a nifty bulletin cover for people who like maps. I noticed when Carter got the bulletin, he was like, oh, look at this, oh, look at the map, oh boy, he likes a map. I may put a map on there all the time just for Carter, so he will have something different to look at. But this is not the prettiest thing, but it's very helpful. It's because you can see, it's got the provinces mapped out there in the gray type, capital letters, Asia, Galatia, Bithynia. You can see where Troas is and Thyatira. So this was Paul's plan. He was going to work through the cities, Philadelphia, Smyrna, Sardis, Ephesus, Thyatira, and Pergamum. But he gets thwarted for whatever reason. We don't know why. It doesn't explain why. But he gets thwarted from Asia, so he has to travel northward. And Paul plans to turn to the east to go to Bithynia and Pontus, which border the Black Sea. But he's thwarted again in his plans. He cannot head east. Again, we don't know why. But while he's in the northwest corner of Asia Minor, he is standing at the crossroads in his journey. He is also sitting at the crossroads of two continents. If he can't go south and enter Asia, he can't go east, enter Bithynia and Pontus, then he can either go back the way he came, or you can go forward into the sea. So let's be clear. I mean, you don't head off on a trip, mission trip, like this, without a plan. And unfortunately for Paul, his plan has fallen off the map has to be tempting to say, look, we're running into one obstacle after another. We're getting nowhere. Let's just fall back, regroup, try again. We'll just go back to where we started. But in the midst of this quandary, as they're trying to figure out what to do, Paul has a vision of taking his mission across the water into Macedonia, into Europe. Now, this wasn't supposed to be the destination. The road Paul planned to travel was the more familiar one. Going around Asia Minor. Familiar turf for him. He grew up originally in the province of Cilicia in the southeast. You can see that on the map on the cover too. But the expected path that he had plotted with his GPS was not leading anywhere. And any plan of his plan A, his plan B, and his plan C, had all fallen apart. Still, he had engaged in this long and difficult journey, and he had come to the threshold of blessing. It seemed like it. But it required his faithfulness in this blessing, in the providence, and in the direction of God. Paul ends up choosing a direction he never expected to take. In a witness to his faithfulness, he trusted that the blessing lay in that unfamiliar, unexpected direction across the water, across to the European continent, where he had not intended to go. So Paul follows this calling of his vision, and eventually, traveling around, he arrives in Philippi. And he's informed of a prayer meeting, a synagogue meeting by the river. And his group encounters this cluster of women on the banks. Notice, once again, the importance of women to the enterprise of sharing the good news of the kingdom way in life. One woman, Lydia, is identified as a worshiper of God. Not a Jew, necessarily, and quite likely a Gentile, but still a worshiper of the one God of the Jews. And what do we call these Gentile worshipers of the God of the Jews? God-fearers. I know we're going to get this someday. I keep working at it. Paul uses this opportunity to share the good news of Jesus and the kingdom with her. And she finds this good news compelling and accepts the faith of the Lord. And together with her household, a whole household, and we're not just talking about kids, we're talking about servants and all kinds of folks, she is baptized as a merchant in purple cloth, garments of the wealthy and the powerful, and having a household of her own, and being able to offer hospitality to all in Paul's group, we learn something about Lydia. She is a woman of means and connections. A great foundation for establishing a ministry. A gracious blessing indeed. Paul's faithfulness to God in choosing the unknown path instead of his planned direction resulted in a great reward and surprising success. But didn't Paul have doubts? I mean, wouldn't we have doubts about stepping across that threshold, leaving Asia Minor and entering into Macedonia and Europe, leaving behind his well-established plans? If you didn't have doubts, I think you were something wrong with you. But here, the doubts are not the defining energy and don't decide the direction. The strong faith and spirit of the believer who's experienced the power of God and the transforming power of new life in the risen Jesus has this reservoir of trust and empowerment to overcome the doubts and to move forward boldly in faithfulness. The best Christian disciples today will still follow the adventurous pathways that the Spirit opens for faithful servants like Paul. God always has more for us when we choose faithfulness. We discover his promise for us in new ways, new directions, and newly defined lives. And this confronts our common patterns, challenges our easy routines, and counters our well-defined lifestyles. We keep doing what we always do because, you know, it has the appearance of necessity. Gotta do this. Actually, we choose to do many of the things we do. We just don't realize how unhelpful this may be in the long run. Are we simply fooling ourselves? So let's consider that man by the pool at Bethesda in the reading from John's Gospel. Because it seems the pool at Bethesda is believed to have healing powers when the waters stir, likely from an underground spring. This doesn't sound very Jewish. It probably has nothing to do with anything Jewish. One might think that since this healing pool is in Jerusalem, that people are going to it, that, you know, it must be connected to the temple and the like. Not so. Jerusalem had been under Roman occupation now for over 80 years, and there were many elements of Hellenistic society, including its gods, its deities, that opened shop in Jerusalem. These kinds of things were strenuously avoided by Torah-abiding Jews who bristled at their presence in the holy city of their god. It was a shrine to another god. There was no record of any healing pool in Bethesda. Well, they knew about the ancient pool of Siloam, which had more to do with water supply and reservoir. There was nothing about healing, nothing in the area of Bethesda. Then archaeologists in the 20th century discovered what would be the right location for this pool, and it was near the Temple of Asclepius, A-S-C-L-E-P-I-U-S. Asclepius is a Hellenistic healing god whose temples often featured Asclepions, or healing pools. So now pieces start fitting together in an interesting way. So in this story, unique to the Gospel of John, there's nothing like it in any of the other Gospels, we find Jesus, the Jew, good Jew, has ventured into this healing pool connected to the Temple of Asclepius. In itself, that's rather bold, going into an off-limits area claimed by a Hellenistic pagan god. People with all kinds of ailments are gathered there. We got one man lame for 38 years, lying on his mat. When Jesus came, asked him, "How long have you been here and what's your condition?" And learning the long time involved, Jesus asks, "Do you want to get well?" The question implies that the man seems rather content with his condition and with the promise that's offered by this pagan healing pool. Indeed, the man whimpers, that others less disabled than he is are able to get into the waters ahead of him every time, and he has no one to help him move more quickly. So this guy's rather pathetic. He's been doing this for 38 years. He seems to want Jesus to help him move more quickly into the pool so he can gain his healing. Well, Jesus has compassion on him. This guy's life's efforts have been reduced to waiting for the pool to stir to life, and then, quick as he can, drag himself to the edge, then down the steps before the water stops. It's like a cruel game he's forced to play over and over. You can almost see the worn path that he has created from his spot in the shade all the way over to the edge of the pool, a path he has dragged himself across 100 times or more to no avail. But it is familiar. And it has such promise, right? Or does it? Jesus comes to reveal the hope of God, challenging this invalid's assumptions. Do you want to get well? Jesus wants to show him a new way. And Jesus may have thought, in this instant, "But you know, you are so pathetic. Why bother trying to explain it to you? I'll just give it to you.
Because that's the only way you're going to get it. So the man does nothing. He does nothing to warrant this blessing. He doesn't even ask for the blessing. And Jesus has no verbal point to make, no speech, no summons to faithfulness, nothing. He lets the healing speak for itself. However, Jesus does heal the man immediately. When the God of sleep, he is cannot and has not for the last 38 years. Jesus brings game. Jesus challenges us in the same way. Do you really want God's blessing for you to be fulfilled? Because if you think your current plan is doing it, you may want to think again, pal. I mean, if you think that it's going to occur in church on a Sunday morning because the preacher said something profound, good luck with that, let me assure you that this was never intended to be where the faithful witness occurs or where the blessing gets experienced. The church and its Sunday services are supposed to be an outpost for the faithful, a sanctuary where God's people can be reconnected to God's purpose, a refuge from the rigors of faithful service in the world. And from the sanctuary, the faithful go out to make disciples, to bring new servants to the kingdom, to give witness to the kingdom of new life. Because it doesn't happen in here. We need to find the edge where God is calling us, where the Spirit is leading us. The Lord is always calling us into His world and away from our own. To be bold and daring and groundbreaking, to seek the blessing we cannot see or even imagine. Whatever our path or our call, may we always seek His way, knowing that the Lord is always out there, ahead of us, waiting for His disciples to move forward faithfully, inviting us into the adventure and into that blessing of faithful service. Let us pray. On our life's journey, Lord, as we come to the threshold of blessing, may we remain faithful and choose the witness which grows our faithfulness and advances your kingdom. Knowing you are with us, Lord, we can take steps to move toward a deeper witness and a greater faithfulness to you, to your will, to your kingdom. Amen.